B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Gimel. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis. Omar le Rav Masna le Abaya, ho tamni havyon, tarti sri havyon. The translation of those words are there only eight? There are 12. Let's just quickly recap. In the Mishnah we learned on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we saw there were eight cases. The eight cases, the first four of them were as follows. Two of them, the Oni, the person in the Rosh Hasharabim, did the entire Melacha himself, Akira, Ha'avora, either in or out, and Hanocha. And the second two cases was the Balabais, who did the Melacha himself. The last four cases were cases where the Balabais did either an Akira, or an Akira with the Hitzah, or a Knisa with the Hanocha, and the same with the Oni. He did either just the Akira, or an Akira with a Knisa, or a Yetzia with a Hanocha. Now, since there's four cases, in every case, you've got two participants. You've got the Oni did half, and you've got the Osher did half. So they both did half the Melocha, which is Osa Midrabonon. It's Potur. You don't get the punishment of Misa, but it's Asa. So for some reason, the Mishnah chose Shtaim Shein Arba Bifnim, which is two cases of Ptur and two cases of Chiyuv for the Oshir, and then the same in the Mishnah, Shtaim Shein Arba Bibachutz for the Oni. But that's only taking into account four cases of Ptur. Pot Avel Asa. What's with the other four? Whenever you've got the Oni is Potter, the Osher is also Potter. The Oni did half, the Osher did the other half. The person, the Balabais, did half, and the Oni did half. That's the question of the Gemara. That's what Rav Masna asked Abaya. Why in the Mishnah are there only eight cases altogether, of which four Chiyuvim and four Potter? There should be another four, because every case of Potter, in each case, there's two people are potter. The Balabais did half and the Oni did half. Says the Gemara Lutamich, if you're already asking such a question, Shisrihaven, there's 16. Because there's eight cases in the Mishnah, and in all eight cases in the Mishnah, there are two people. So there should be 16. Omer Leholukasha. That one can answer. Bishle Mabova Duresha, regarding the first four cases in the Mishnah, Potter umutter, loikatoni. Because in the first four cases, either the Oni or the Balabais is completely chayev, because he did the whole malocha, and the other one didn't do an Akira or a Hanocha. So that's intrinsically mutter. So that wouldn't have to be said in the Mishnah. It's not osa in any way. He didn't have a part in it, more or less. El abova de sefer, de potter avil osur kasha. In the second four cases in the Mishnah, where each one is potter avel osur, because in each of the four cases, both individuals did half of the melacha, then each one is potter avel osur. They had a part in the melacha. It should have been mentioned in the Mishnah. As shtaim shein arba, it should be more than that. Another Gemara is interjecting that, what does it mean when it says in the Reisha of the Mishnah, it says that the Oni, Ha'oni Chayev, Ubalabais Potter. And the Gemara just explained that it means Potter or Mutter, because in that case the Balabais didn't do anything. The Oni did the Akira, and the Ha'avara, and the Hanocha. The Balabais did nothing. So the Gemara is asking, where do we find such a concept of the Mishnah using the term Potter, which means you're exempt, and it really means that it's permitted. Whatever you did was completely mutter. Mi'ika b'kula Shabbos potur or mutter? Va'oma Shmuel, did Shmuel not say kol p'tura de Shabbos? Every time it says potur in the Mishnayos in Shabbos, potur aval osa. It means it's potur, but it's osa. And here in the Mishnah, you've got a case of potur, and we say it means mutter. Bar mihani tlas, the only three times Shmuel says this, the only three times that it says potter in a Mishnah and it means mutter is, the potter or mutter is tzedas tzvi, tzedas nochosh umapis mursa, which are We don't need to go into the details now, but there's three times where, for whatever reason, it says potter and it means mutter. And our Mishnah is not one of them. So how can you say that in our Mishnah it says potter and it means mutter? Says the Gemara, ki itzrich le Shmuel p'ture de k'ovid maisa. The truth is, there are other cases that are potter and mutter. For example, our Mishnah. The reason Shmuel only mentioned those three is because over there, in each of those three, the person involved did something, he didn't act. And therefore, Shmuel is telling us that whenever a person doesn't act, and consequent to the act, the Mishnah says potur, it means osur. Besides, for these three cases, where in spite of the fact they didn't act, it's mutter. But however, p'tura d'loy k'ovid maisa. But when it says potur in the event that the person involved didn't do anything, yikatuva. There's many cases, and one of them being our Mishnah. For example, the first case in the Mishnah that says the poshat onyes yodei lifnim v'nosan letoich yodei shel balabais, when the oni from outside lifts up his basket, takes it in, puts it down in the balabais' hands, it's the oni himself who did the akira, the knisa, and the hanocha, and the balabais didn't do anything, and therefore balabais saying potter, it's potter and mutter. Mikol mokim tartis rihavyon. But the question of Rav Masna is still in place, that where there's still supposed to be 12 and not just 8. Says the Gemara, p'ture de osi behulu de chiyuv chatos kachoshiv, de loy osi behulu de chiyuv chatos loy kachoshiv. And this is what we mentioned on Daf Beis already at length, that the four of p'turim, which the Mishnah is referring to, two for the balabais and two for the oni, are the two which are the akiras. Because akira, when you lift up something from one domain, the object that was in one domain, you're lifting it up now with the intention of transferring it to another domain, it's only the lifting up that could ultimately bring you to do an entire melacha of transferring it and putting it down. So the Mishnah, when it says shehein arba, it means the two akiras of the balabais and the two akiras of the oni. But the hanochis and the cases in the Mishnah where either the balabais or the oni is only doing the hanocha, those are not mentioned in the opening lines of the Mishnah of Shtayim Shein Arba. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss the concept of having a single melacha done by two people, how that works. Like we saw in our Mishnah, where there's a melacha called Haitza, which means transferring an object from one domain to another. This needs an akira, it needs to be lifted up, and it needs to be put down in the other domain. And the Mishnah discusses a case where one person does the lifting up, the other one does the putting down. Says the Gemara, Shneim Pturim. In a case where each do half a melacha, it's osur for both of them. But they're both potter because neither of them did a full melacha. Asks the Gemara, b'ho is avidu melacha mi beinayu. Who cares that two people did it together? At the end of the day, it was between the two of them that a full melacha was done. They should have a shared responsibility in the full melacha, and they should both be chayiv. Says the Gemara, no. Tanya Rebbe Oimer, it says, we learn that from the Pasuk says, Ve'im nefesh achas techeto bishkogo, me'am ha'oretz, ba'a so'iso achas mitzvis Hashem ha'sheloitzi asenu va'oshim. The Pasuk says that in order to be able to be punished, it has to be ba'a so'iso, that the entire deed was done, the doing of a melacha. Ha'oise es kula, only somebody who does an entire melacha. Since each of the two individuals involved only did half of the melacha, in that case it's not called ba'asoyso. They didn't do the melacha, they only did part of the melacha, and therefore there's no chiyuv. Yochid va'asoyso chayiv, if an individual does a full melacha, he's chayiv. Shnayim va'asoyso, if two people together do a melacha, pturin ne'apota. It menami omer b'chia bargamdo. Nizirka mipiya chabura, in the Beis Medrash, it was thrown out from the people in the Beis Medrash. It was unanimously agreed upon Va'omru, and they said that from ba'asoysa, from this word ba'asoysa, yochid sha'asa, chayiv, an individual who does an entire melacha is chayiv, shnayim sha'asu'a, but if two people between themselves did a full melacha, p'turin, they are potter, like it says in our Mishnah. If the Oni and the Balabais each did half a melacha, then they are potter, however it is asur. Continues the Gemara. Till now we've been discussing in the Mishnah, when you either lift up some food, the Balabais lifts up some food and sends it out to the Oni, or the Oni takes the food out, or the Oni takes an object, namely his basket, and brings it into the domain of the home of the Balabais. Now we're going to discuss what happens when a person is carrying an object on his shoulders and the person himself starts moving. He was in a stationary position, now he starts moving. Is that considered an akira regarding whatever he's holding on his back? Says the Gemara, Boy minei Rav mi Rebbe. Rav asked the following question to Rebbe. Hit inoy chaveiroy oichlin umashkin. If his friend laid him, put on his back, whatever it is, food and drink, v'hoitzion luchutz. And then the person, he was inside in Roshus HaYochid, in a home, he started walking out. Mao, what's the halacha? Akiras kufoi ka'akiras chayfetz v'mekoymoy domi. Do we consider the fact that he transferred his body from one domain to the next, and he was carrying some object, it's as if he transferred the objects, doing an akira and a hanocha, or mechayev, and then he'll be chayev for hitzah, or dilma loy, or maybe no. Maybe it's true that he transferred himself from one domain to the next, but he didn't actually do an akira and a hanocha. He didn't lift up the object and put the object down. He didn't lift up the object at all because his friend put it on his back. All he did was he started walking. Is that called an akira or not? Omar lei chayev. Rebbe answered back to Rav, he's chayev. It's called an akira. Ve'einoi doime liyodoi. We saw in the Mishnah that if the poor man puts his hand into the home, an empty hand, and the person inside takes the basket or takes some food and puts it into the poor man's hand, and now the poor man removes his hand from the home back out to where he is, the domain he's outside, then it's not considered as if the poor man did an akira. We just assume that it's the Balabais did the Akira, put it into the poor man's hand. The poor man just did the Yitzia and the Hanocha. Why is that different to here, where somebody else puts the food and drink on the back of this person, the person starts walking to a different domain and puts it down? What's the difference between the hand of the poor man and the body of this person? Says the Gemara, it's not similar. Why? Ve'eino dei meliyodei. My time, what's the difference? Gufoi naich, yodoi loy naich. When a person puts something on a person's back, a person's body is totally stationary on the ground. It's stable, it's based completely on the ground. And therefore, when the person starts moving, he's lifted up. He's taken something from a stationary position to a moving position. That's called akira. However, his hand, a person's hand is moving all over the place. A person's hand is not intrinsically stable and stationary. And therefore, when the Balabais put something into the poor man's hand, it's not as if now it's in a stationary position and the Oni started moving it. No, the hand is a moving item all the time, is a moving being, and therefore, if the Balabais lifted up the food and put it into his hand, it's as if the Balabais started the movement and the poor man just continued it, and that's why it's not, we don't attribute the akira to the person, to the Oni. Omale Rav Chiya l'Rav. Rav Chiya commented to Rav, it was Rav that asked Rebbe this question, and Rebbe answered it. Rav Chiya said to Rav, Bar Pochsi, you're the son of Gedolim, but I've got a question. Lo yamin elecho, did I not tell you, ki koi Rebbe behind Masechta, lo yitashayli b'masechta achrita? When Rebbe, you asked him a question in Hilchas Shabbos, Right, he's not learning Hilchos Shabbos now. I told you, do not ask Rebbe a question in one Masechta when he's learning a different Masechta. Dilma lav adate. Maybe you're going to ask him something delicate, something that's not explicit, and he's going to have to work through the logic of the sugya, the svaros, from scratch. He's not going to be completely involved in the sugya, and he may make a slight misjudgment. Dilav de Rebbe gavra rabahu. If not that Rebbe is such a great person, and he actually answered you completely correctly, Kosva say you may have embarrassed him. He could have answered you with a not 100% accurate answer. But the truth is that he answered you accurately, and we even have a brisa to say to the same effect as what Rebbe said. The Tanya we learnt in a brisa, if a person was laden with food and drink from before Shabbos on his back, and after Shabbos came in, he went out with the food on his back. Chayev is chayev, lefi she'eino deim eliyodoy, because it's not similar to the hand, which is exactly what Rebbe said. Rebbe said it's not that holding food on a person's back, on his body, is a much more stable position, and therefore starting to move is called an akira, and it's not similar to a person's hand, which is not called a stationary position. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Pshita li that yodoy shel odom einoy loikrushus harabim veloikrushus hayochid. It's clear to me from the Mishnah, says Abaya, that the hand of a person is not like rushus harabim and not like rushus hayochid. Which means if the person is in the rushus harabim and he puts his hand into rushus hayochid, his hand is not considered as an extension of the Rishus HaRabim where his body is. And if the person is in Rishus HaYochid and his hand is in Rishus HaRabim, we do not consider his hand as an extension of the Rishus HaYochid where the person is standing. Kirishus HaRabim loydamya miyodoy da'oni. We know from the Mishnah that says that when the poor man puts his hand into the home, into the bayis, and the balabayis puts some food onto the poor man's hand, we don't say that the balabayis has done a hanocha in Rishus HaRabim, even though the poor man is standing in Rishus HaRabim. We say that the poor man is in the Rishus HaRabim, his hand is not in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's called whatever you're going to call it, but it's not called a hanocha in Rishus HaRabim. And when the balabayis puts his hand out into the Rishus HaRabim, we do not say that the hand of the balabayis is considered an extension of the Rishus HaYochid, because we see that it's called a knisa. He's bringing it in from the balabayis. If he puts his hand with food in outside into the Rishus HaRabim, and then the oni takes the food out of the balabayis' hand and puts it down, we say that the oni has just done a hanocha. If the balabayis' hand is an extension of the Rishus HaYochid, then the oni taking the food from the balabayis' hand is actually doing an akira from one Rishus and a hanocha in another Rishus, and he would be chayev. And that's not what it says in the Mishnah. So that's clear that even though a person is standing in one domain and his hand is in another domain, his hand does not become an extension of the domain where he's standing. Boy Abaya. Abaya is, however, asking, Yodoy shel odom mahu sheteose karmelis. Do we assume that if a person's hand is in a different domain to where he's standing, does his hand now become a karmelis? Karmelis is a new type of domain. Min ha-Torah, it doesn't exist. The Rabbonon said that a karmelis, which is a type of domain which is not a Rishus HaYochid and not a Rishus HaRabim, and min ha-Torah, it's like a mokim p'tur that we learn about, that you're allowed to carry, or you're allowed to transfer from a mokim p'tur to a Rishus HaYochid, or from a mokim p'tur to a Rishus HaRabim, and vice versa, from a Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYochid into a mokim p'tur. But a karmelis, the Chachomim said, has the halacha of a domain that you're not allowed to carry to it or from it from any other domain. The question is, the hand of a person, when it's stretched out into a different domain, does his hand now have the status of being a karmelis or not? A scenario where this could make a difference is if a person is standing at the door of his home in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, he has something in his hand, and on Shabbos he stretches out his hand into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He doesn't put it down, nobody takes it from him. Is he allowed to bring his hand back in to the Rosh Hashanah Yochid? If we say that his hand is just not a domain, and then there's no reason not to bring it back in. He did an akira in his home. He's going to do hanocha back in his home, and it's as if he hasn't done a melocha. But if a person's hand, when it leaves the domain he's in, now has the halachic status of a karmelis, then you're not allowed to take something from a karmelis into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So you have to keep your hand stretched out for the entire Shabbos. That's going to be the question. That was the question that Abaye asked. Mi kontzuho rabbonon lahadure legabe. Did the Chachomim give a knas, say that since you were not allowed to, you should not have put your hand out with this item, with this object in your hand, we're now punishing you, keep your hand out there, and it has the halacha of a karmelis? Oi, do we say no, his hand is not a karmelis, and you can bring your hand back in? Toshema, we saw in the Braisa, if his hands were full of fruit, and he stretched his hand out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Toni Chode, in one braise it says, you're not allowed to bring your hand back in. V'tani Idoch, in another braise it says, Mutar Lachzira, you are allowed to bring your hand back in. My love, we can assume, this is what they're arguing about. Marasova, the braisa that says that you're not allowed to bring your hand back in, kekaramelis domi. It's because the Chachomim said that a person's hand in a different domain has the status of a karmelis. Well, Marasova, and the braisa that says you are allowed to bring your hand back in, lav kekaramelis domi, assumes that the hand is not a karmelis, and therefore you can bring your hand back in. Says the Gemara, no, this is not a proof. It could be that both braisas agree that a person's hand is a karmelis. Nonetheless, we can explain the seeming contradiction between the two braisas. Kan, the braisa that says you're not allowed to bring your hand back in, lemato me'asoro, is talking about where you stretched your hand out within 10 tfochim from the ground. If it's 10 tefachim from the ground, then you stretched your hand out into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we said you stretched your hand from Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We do not let you, it's a knas that we do not let you bring your hand back in. But in the Brayis that says that you are allowed to bring your hand back in, Lemailo Me'asoro is talking about above 10 tefachim, and above 10 tefachim there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore you're allowed to bring your hand back in. Only above 10 tefachim, where it's also to stretch out from Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, just below 10 tefachim, since it's also, the Chachomim gave you a knas. However, above 10 tefachim, which is a mokim p'tur, there is no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim above 10 tefachim, stretching out to an area, to the airspace above 10 tefachim off the ground, is not osa, it's mutar, and therefore if you did it, the Chachomim did not punish you, and you can bring your hand back in. The Gemara is now offering a third suggestion to explain the contradiction of the two braises. It could be that both braises are talking about that you stretched your hand out below 10 tefachim. V'lav kekarmelis domi. And both hold that the hand is not considered a karmelis. V'loi kasha. And nonetheless, it's not a contradiction. Kan, the braise that says that you're allowed to bring your hand back in, mib'oid yoim, is talking about that when you stretched out your hand, it was still daytime. And since it was daytime, when you stretched it out, it was not osa. So now you can bring your hand back in. V'kan, but michshecha sheicho, the braisa that says that you're not allowed to bring your hand back in, is talking about where you stretched out your hand into the Rosh Rabim when it was already Shabbos, you did an issa, and therefore there's a knas, you may not bring your hand back in. And that's what the Gemara explains, if you to put your hand out in the daytime. Lo ikonsu harabonon. The Chachomim did not give you a knas. Mishecha sheicho. If you put your hand out when it was already night, konsu harabonon. Says the Gemara, Adarabba ipcha mistabra. Logic would dictate exactly the opposite. Mib'oidioim. If you put your hand, stretched your hand out in the daytime, di'ishodilei loy osi l'dei chiyuv chatos. If for whatever reason, intentionally or by mistake, you drop the item, then you haven't done a chiyuv chatos, because when you did the akira, when you lifted up the object and you did the taking out of the object, it was still daytime. So even if you do a hanocha now and you drop it down in the opposite, in a different domain, you will not be chayuv chatos, because you don't have an akira on Shabbos. And therefore, liknasei rabbonon, then it's more appropriate to give the knas, because at the end of the day, you shouldn't have done this. But since we, even in the event that your hand gets tired and you drop the item, it's not going to be a chiyuv chatos, we can allow ourselves to give you that punishment. Worst comes to worst, you'll drop it because you won't be able to hold it so long and you will not have transgressed an avera of chatos. Mishechashecha, however, if you put your hand out when it was already dark, that means you did an akira on Shabbos. The ishodile, and now if you're going to drop this item at any point, you will then have done a transferring to a different domain and a hanocha by dropping it, and that's severely also loy liknasei rabbonon. And therefore the rabbonon would not want to give a knas. We wouldn't want to take the risk of giving you a punishment that the punishment could make you transgress a very serious issa. So that's what the Gemara asked. Adarabba, why did the Gemara explain that if you put your hand out in the day, since it wasn't an avera to put the hand out in the day, we're not giving you a knas, and at night we are giving you the knas, it should have said the opposite way around. And says the Gemara, midaloikom mashanin anhochi, since we do not say this logic that we just suggested now, then tivshoit derev bivi barabaya. It would help us understand a question that Rav Bivi Bar Abaya asked. The boy Rav Bivi Bar Abaya. Rav Bivi Bar Abaya asked the following question. Hidbik pas betanur. In the time of Chazal, how did they used to bake bread? They used to take some dough, they used to stick it onto the walls of an oven, and it used to be hot, there were coals and woods, and it would bake. What happens if this person, he stuck the dough onto the side of the oven on Shabbos? By mistake. Hitiru loy lirdoisa koidim shiyovo lidechiyov chatos oiloi. Oiloi hitiru. We know that to remove bread from an oven is also osa. We're going to see later on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin why the Chachomim prohibited us to remove the dough from the walls of an oven. But it's a midrabbonon. Over here, this person put the dough onto the oven on Shabbos. If we're not going to allow him to remove it, then the dough is going to bake, and he will have transgressed a very serious avera of afia. If we allow him to remove it, he will have transgressed the issur d'rabbanon that doesn't allow us to remove the dough, but at least he'll be saved from baking on Shabbos. That was the question. Did they allow him to remove the dough before it's going to get baked and then he will have transgressed a chiyuv chatos? The logic that would have said that the Chachomim would not make their gezeira to forbid us to remove the bread in order, or they would not make the issa if it will save you from a serious issa, that logic is opposing the logic that the Gemara just said before. We just said before that if the person stretched his hand out after it became night, and if he's now going to drop what he's holding, he will be transgressing a serious melocha v'itzar, that should be a reason that the Chachomim do not make the knas. But the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said that if he puts his hand out at night, which was osa, we do give him the knas, even though we take the risk of him then transgressing a serious issa. So with the bread also, he put the bread on, we're now not going to allow him to take it off, even though ultimately it's going to come to a very serious issa. So the fact that the Gemara did not say the suggested logic before will be proof to the answer to Rav Bivi Bar Abaye's question. And the proof will be that we do not let him take it down. Says the Gemara, Holoi Kashya, V'tivshet. Okay, very good. Rav Bivi Bar Abaye asked the question. You have proof from our Gemara that he's not allowed to take the bread off. We're okay with the fact that you have a proof. Says the Gemara, V'ibois Eimer, or I can offer you a fifth explanation to explain the original contradiction between the two brises about the person who stretched his hand out, if he's allowed to bring his hand back in, and la'ilam le'tivshet. And according to this next explanation, then you won't have a proof to Rav Bivi Bar Abaye's question. It was only according to the fourth explanation that says that it's only according to the third explanation that said that kan mibo'idyoim, kan mishechashecho, that mibo'idyoim loy konsur rabonon, mishechashecho konsur rabonon. There the Gemara said ipcha mistabra and offered a fourth explanation, and we tried to bring proof from the fact that the Gemara did not say that fourth explanation. We tried to bring proof to the question of Rav Bivi Bar Abaye. Says the Gemara, I'll give you a fifth explanation, and then it won't be any relation, there will be no connection to Rav Bivi Bar Abaye's scenario and his question. What's the fifth explanation? V'loi kashya. Kan, the braisa that says that you're allowed to bring your hand back, b'shoigeg, is talking about that you put your hand out by mistake. If he put his hand out by mistake, they didn't give him a knas. Kan, b'mezid, says the Gemara, b'shoigeg loy konsur rabbonon, b'mezid konsur rabbonon. If you intentionally put your hand out, knowing that it's Shabbos, or Shabbos is about to come, and you put your hand out, we gave you a knas, you can't bring your hand back in. And Rashi and Tosfos here go lengthy explanations why you cannot use this thesis at all to clarify Rav Bivi Bar Abaye's question and how to answer it. V'ibois Eimer, the Gemara is suggesting a sixth explanation to explain why the two brises are not a contradiction. Idi v'idi b'shoigeg, both brises are talking about that you put your hand out by mistake. V'hocha b'kontzu shoigeg otu mezid komifligi. The whole discussion is, do we make a knas when a person does such a thing by mistake in order to avoid it being amazed? That means if he would do it b'mezid, of course we would give him a knas. Do we say that since had you done it b'mezid, you would have a knas, then we're also giving you a knas if you do it by mistake or not? Mar sovar kontzu shoigig otu mezid. The braisa that says that you're not allowed to bring your hand back in holds that since we would give you a knas when it's amazed, we give you a knas when it's b'shoigig as well. Umar sovar le konsul shoigig otu mezid. The braisa that says that you are allowed to bring your hand back in says that since you put your hand out by mistake, we did not give you the knas. V'iboy seima, says the Gemara, a seventh explanation to explain the contradiction. La'ilam le konsul. There's no knas. V'loi kashya. Kan la'oy so chotzer, kan l'chotzer acheres. It depends if you're bringing your hand back is back to the same place where you originally started, or if somehow taking your hand back into a Shus HaYochid is really bringing it back into a different domain than it was where you first started. And Rashi explains that bringing back could mean that I'm standing in one Rosh HaYochid, I put my hand out into Rosh HaRabim, I bring my hand back into Rosh HaYochid. Or the other option would be, I'm in Rosh HaYochid, I put my hand out, and the question is, instead of bringing my hand back, I actually throw what I've got in my hand over to a different Rosh HaYochid. So, for all intents and purposes, the Akira was in Rosh HaYochid, the Hanocha was in Rosh HaYochid, then it should have the same halachas. No. The Gemara says that if you bring it back to the same Roshus, it's muta. And that was the braisa that says you're allowed to bring your hands back. The braisa that says that you're not allowed to bring it back, it means you're not allowed to throw it into a different Rosh HaYochid. K'deboi minei rova mirav Nachman. And this was the question that Rava asked of Nachman, Hoiso yode mele operis, his hand was full of fruits, vohitzio lechutz, and he stretched it out into Rosh HaRabim, mao lachziro lo isa chotzer, is he allowed to bring it back to the same chotzer, the same rishus hayochid, the same yard where he was before, where he was before he stretched out his hand. Omale mutar, it's allowed. Lachotzer acheres, but to throw it into a different yard or garden, mahu omale osa. It's, you're not allowed to. Umayishna, what's the difference between them? Lechi teichel alo kura de milcha. He answered him saying, well, when you eat or when you measure a volume of a kur of salt, then I'll tell you the reason. And he didn't mean this seriously because he straightway told him the reason. Hasam lo yis avid machshavtoi. When you bring it back into the same rishus that you started, then at least any intentions you may have had with wanting to transfer this the item from to anywhere, at least nothing came of that. So we'll let you bring your hand back in. But if you're going to now throw it to another domain, even if it's a similar domain, Ushus Hayochid to Ushus Hayochid, then at least what you wanted to do will have been done, and that's one step closer to transferring something from one Ushus to another, which would be Asa, and therefore the Braisa says, you're not allowed to throw what you have in your hand into another Ushus, into another Chotza. And Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to carry on from here.